So we're on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, and you may recall that based on a statement of Rav, we derive two conclusions. Number one, he holds against what we said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that if you have a Mavui that goes from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid and then spills out into Rishus HaRabim, that's considered a Mavui Mefulash. The fact that it goes through Rishus HaYachid in the middle, that's irrelevant. And secondly, we said that according to Rav, if you have a Mavui Shenifratz Lechatzer, right, so you had that wall that used to keep the people out of the Mavui, it separated the Chatzir from the Mavui, and now that wall was broken. In such a case, the Bnei HaChatzir have no control, so to speak, to require that the Bnei HaMavui would have to link up with them in a sheet of muvos. And that was the shita of Rav. Okay, now the Gemara says the following, that I'll just quickly read through the Gemara as a review of yesterday. And we're up to the words Vamai, which is four lines down from the bottom, from the top of Daf Zayin Amid Beis. Vamai, why does Rav hold that if you have this Mavui and it opens up into a Chatzer, and Rav says that you're not allowed to be metaltil in this Mavui, Lehevi kim Mavui shekola l'rechava. And we said in the case of a Mavui that ends up in Rechava, based on Rabbi Yehuda's ruling, we said that it's not called a Mavui Mefulash, because it spills into that which is a Rishus HaYachid. So why did Rav say that you're not allowed to carry in this Mavui? So apparently we have to conclude that Rabbi Yehuda was not, as we said yesterday, standing on the shoulders of Rav, and there's a double contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav. On the one hand, what's the status of, as we said before, a Mavui that takes you from Rishus HaRabim through the Mavui into a Rishus HaYochid and out to another Rishus HaRabim? Is it called Mavui Mefulash? Or it's not a Mavui Mefulash? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we said it's not a Mavui Mefulash, and therefore it's a Mavui Sasim which only needs a Lechi or a Korah, whereas according to Rav, it's considered a Mavui Mefulash. And now we have a different machlokas about between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav about the law of Eruv Chatzeros. And in the law of Eruv Chatzeros, Rabbi Yehuda, because he chose to speak about Rechava, which is Ein La Diurin, as we discussed at great length yesterday, it would seem to imply that his halacha would not apply if it was into a real chatzer, right? A rechava is like a chatzer, but it's missing diurim, whereas a chatzer has diurim. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, again, by implication, he never spelled this out, but we can understand from his words, that if it would have been a chatzer in the classic sense, then that mavui would be osel etaltel. You'd need an eruv, which we call an Erev Chatzeros, to include the Bnei HaMavui together with the Bnei HaChatzer and unify them into one entity. But Rav, on the other hand, explicitly mentions that we're talking about a Mavui that spills into a Chatzer, which is a place of Yeshbar Diurin, and nevertheless, he says that the only problem that we have is a Mavui Mefulash, but as far as, right, which might require a Tzuras HaPesach, but as far as an Erev is concerned, meaning an Erev Chatzeres, an Erev Shitufei Mavos, that he doesn't require. And then the last thing we discussed is Amalei Rav Yosef turns to Abaye, and he says, Anolo Yodana, I can't tell you exactly who Rav Yehuda was quoting, but I do know the following story. Uvda Havi Bedura de Ravasa, right, this little village that we said was for the shepherds, and it was a mavui shekola l'rechava hava. They had this exact case of Rabbi Yehuda, that there was a mavui that started in Rishus HaRabim in this little town square, and it ended up into a rechava. And asal kami to Rabbi Yehuda v'loy tzurchei lo midi. And Rabbi Yehuda said that you're allowed to carry in this mavui. All you need is a lechi nekora. This, despite the fact that at the other end of this rechava there was a pirtza into Rishus HaRabim. The ikasha mishmei de Rav, and if you have a problem, how do I reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with Rav? Is to have mishmei de Shmuel v'lo kashale, then you'll have to conclude by process of elimination that Rabbi Yehuda was basing himself not on Rav but rather on Shmuel. Now the Gemara wants to suggest that perhaps there's a way out over here. Not a way out into the Mavui, but I mean to say a way out of assuming that Rabbi Yehuda is definitely basing himself on Shmuel. Hashda di Omar le Rav Sheshes le Rav Shmuel bar Abba, the Amri le Rav Yosef bar Abba. We have this tradition. Asbrolacha, I'm going to explain to you what Rav was saying, because I heard it directly from him. And now I understand this law of a mavi shenifratz lechatzer. And there was a pirtza right in the wall of the chatzer that was kenegdo, going out into Rishus HaRabim. Is kansha ervu, kansha lo ervu. There's a difference between the following two cases. One is was there an eruv of the bnei chatzer together with the bnei mavui, or was there no Eruv? If there was an Eruv between the Bnei Achatz and the Bnei Amavui, then you're allowed to carry your Mutal Taltel in the Mavui, in the Chatzer. But Kishalo Eruvu, then the Chatzer is Mutar and the Mavui is Asur. And what's the logic? So I'll read it to you in the Hebrew. He says, Tam achiluku mipnei shekasher osa rav esatiltul b'mavui. When Rav says you're not allowed to carry in this mavui that was kola that ended up in a chatzer, that wasn't because it's a mavui mefulash. Lomi did mavui mefulash rishus haravim osro. So the issa that Rav had in mind, and Rav told me this, of carrying in the Mavui, was not because the Mavui is Mefulash. So forget about what we said all along and all our original assumptions. But rather, Midin, Mavui Shalom Nishtatfu Bo Be'eruv. That the Bnei HaMavui were not included in the Eruv of the Bnei HaChatzer. U Bnei HaChatzer Osrim Es HaMavui. Which, in my mind, sounds like what Rav was saying is that if the Bnei HaMavui enjoy the access to the Chatzer, they have no right to do that. Because you remember that there was a wall between the Chatzer and the Mavui. That wall was broken. But since there was a wall there originally, they had no access, and nobody gave them access for the Bnei HaMavui into the Chatzer. So now that the coastal is pirtza, is broken down, and now the Bnei HaMavui want to get access to the Chatzer, well, guess what? They were not part of the Eruv. The Eruv was done with all the members of the Chatzer, but not with the members of the Mavui that came from other Chatzeros. And that's called Mavui Shalom Ishtatvu Bo Be'erev. Ubnei HaChatzer Osrim Es HaMavui. In other words, because the Bnei HaChatzer... Now, what does that mean, Osrim Es HaMavui? I'll just read to you what he says here. Kasha Yeshna Pirtza Malea Bein Mavui L'Chatzer. He says, Hare Elu Osrim al Elu Esatiltul. So the language here is Osrim Elu al Elu. It sounds like it's reciprocal. So again, if you get an Erev between the Bnei HaChatzer and the Bnei HaMavui, then everything is mutter. The Mavui is mutter, the Chatzer is mutter, everything. But let's say there was no Erev. So he says here in the footnote that Osrim Elu al Elu. So that's a little bit of a pellet to me. Oh, Kashel. Okay, so there's the text on the top and the note on the bottom. So let me go back to the text on top for a minute. Im irvu bnei achotzem afayim. Kashel lo irvu, nesar hamavui. So here he's saying nesar hamavui, mipnei she bnei achotzer osrim olav. So I'm not sure here, but it sounds like he's saying that the Bnei HaChatzer have a right to generate an Isur to the Bnei HaMavui, but not necessarily vice versa. But in the footnote, I don't know, the language here, I need a little bit better lighting here. Maybe I could move this for a second, because the print is a little bit small. I'm just going to move things a little over here. He says his language here is Elu Osrim al Elu Esatiltil. Elu Osrim al Elu Esatiltil. I think I misread it. It's not that it's reciprocal, but he means Elu, he means the Bnei HaChotzer Osrim al Elu on the Bnei HaMavui Esatiltil. And he writes Shnei Tamim Yeshnam Li Isur Shal HaMavui. Okay, good. So without an Erev here, there's going to be an Iser on the Mavui. Aleph mipnei shekol reshus haprutza b'meloa reshus hacheres she'asur alav harei neseres machbas also pirtza. Okay, this is interesting. Again, this is a principle that we'd have to get familiar with as we go through Masechta Erevin, but he's saying that if you have a reshus that is, excuse me for just one second, I have to take... So you have a mavui that spills into, because the spirits are into a chotzer. And he's establishing a principle that when you have one area, one reshus, that is porates, it breaks its way into another reshus, and he's not allowed to carry in the second reshus. So in this case, the Mavui spills into the Chatzer, and the Bnei Mavui are not allowed to carry in the Chatzer. Hare hi neseres machmas osa pirtza. Which means that the... Again, I hope I'm not misleading you here. I think the way to read this is that... that there's no Isur... On the Bnei HaChatzer, the Bnei HaChatzer made an Eruv Chatzeres, but the Bnei HaMavui are also, because their Mavui spills into the Chatzer. Again, I'll read it one more time. Kol Rishus HaPrutza B'melua Rishus. Oh, yeah. Oh, so I think the word Rishus here, which is in the feminine here, got me mixed up, is in feminine, but the Rishus here, he's referring to a Mavui. A Mavui is masculine. So when he says Harehi Neseres, I thought he was referring to the Chatz, but I think he's referring to the Mavui, but he's calling the Mavui a Rishus. And number two, he says, Beis, Mibnei Drisas HaRegel Shebnei HaChatzer B'Mavui. He's saying that since the Bnei HaChatzer now have access to the Mavui, so that already creates this interdependence between the Chatzer and the Mavui, and the Mavui were not part, the Bnei Mavui were not part of that Eruv. He says, Ach HaChatzer Einin Eseres So as we said before, we thought that what's going on here is that since there was originally a full wall that blocked the Mavui from the Chotzer. Therefore, the Bnei Mavui have no Drisas HaRegel. They have no right, even after the wall is broken, to enter into the Chotzer. The Chotzer is like private property. So there are other Chatzeres that spill into this Mavui. Those people are not included in the Erev of the Chotzer, and therefore they don't have access to the Chotzer. He says, "B'mikra shebo diber rav, ein achotzer neseres, af machmas apirtzo." Oh, now I think he's addressing our question. I mean, you told me that the mavi became also because of the pirtzo that spills into the chotzer, and the bnei mavi have no drisus regal in the chotzer. Then why not say the reverse, that the bnei chotzer should be also because of the mavi? Because now the chotzer is prutza into the mavui. You know, that pirtza goes in two directions. He says, "Mnei shirak ha-mavui paritz b'meloa." Ah, interesting. You remember that we said that this pirtza extends from one coastal of the mavui to the other coastal of the mavui. So the mavui is completely paritz into the chotzer. But the sides, you know, the continuation of this wall, both on the right and the left, is still standing. In fact, we mentioned that's called Omed Merubal Aparutz. And that means that the Chatzer still has its own wall, despite the Pirtza. So that Pirtza will be a Pesach of sorts, but the Chatzer remains intact. Why? Because Yeshno Shirayim Lakosel, so between the Chatzer and the Mavui, going in that direction, it has this Kosel on both sides. He calls it Shirayim, the vestige of the Kosel. Mishnei Tzidei Apirtza, V'Eina Apirtza Yisera Al Eser Amos, which means it has a din of a Pesach if it's less than 10 Amos. V'lo Kipirtza. Acha Mavui Nesar Machmas HaPirtza Shehi B'Meloa. Okay, so Rabosai, just to summarize, I'm glad I got a little nervous here, because when I first opened it up, Hare Elu Osrim Al Elu, I came to the mistaken conclusion that even the Bnei HaChotzer became Osrim. But he's saying no. He's saying that the Isur here is on the Bnei HaMavui, because the Mavui is completely Parutz, whereas the Chutz is not completely parts. So again, if there'll be an Erev between the Bnei Chutz and the Bnei Mavui, that's fine. Then the Mavui is Mutter. And Kasher Lo Irvu, then Nesar Mavui. And that's because there are other Bnei Achatzeros, which means the Bnei of this Chatzer, that have access to this Mavui. And therefore they have to be included in the Shitufei Muvos. That's the way I understand it. Then he writes, V'atam shenokat ravis dvara b'mikra shenifritza achatzel shesaravim v'kosel shekneged ha-Mavui. So now he points out, this was the last point that we made yesterday, that why does Rav discuss a case where the opening into the Chatzer is from Rishus HaRabim, and it's exactly Mechuvan, it's the direct, as we called it, if you shoot an arrow directly, you'll get to the other Rishus HaRabim at the end. That's totally, totally irrelevant. Rav wanted to add an extra Chidush, Shegam, also Kasher Bnei Rishus HaRavim Ovrim B'Chotzer Kdei Legila Mavui Eimekokom Lesar Es HaChotzer. In other words, you might have the following problem here. There are other people who have access to this Mavui above and beyond the members of the Chotzer. So the Chotzer spills into the Mavui, but there's a Pesach from Rishus HaRavim leading into the Chotzer that allows the Bnei Rishus HaRavim to have access to the Mavui. So since the Bnei Rishus HaRavim have access to the Mavui, then the Bnei HaChotzer have to get the Bnei Rishus HaRavim into this union which we called it a union for the purpose of Erevin. Now go figure out, who the Bnei Rosh Hashanah are. I don't know how you would even... But in any event, that's what Rav wants to say. Don't think that the Bnei HaChatzer, insofar as the Chatzer is open to the Rosh Hashanah, no longer have unique or, shall we say, exclusive rights to use the Mavui, and therefore they would not be allowed to use the Mavui. No, they have access to the Mavui, and we don't have to worry about the Bnei Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So this, I think, where we got to yesterday. And now the Gemara concludes with the words of Rabbi Yehuda. And to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with Rav, according to Rav Sheshes, as we saw, that since the logic of Rav is based on the halach of Chatzah Shenifritza Lemavui, and it has to do with Dine Erev, it has nothing to do with the Mavui being Mefulash, but rather it has to do with the Bnei HaChatzer that have access to the Mavui, and therefore the Bnei HaMavui need to get the, so to speak, the license from the Bnei HaChatzer, and that's going to be an Erev that includes not only the Bnei HaChatzer, but also the Bnei HaMavui. So we're not dealing with a Mavui Mefulash halacha. Is now we can reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with Rav. Derava derav nami lo kasha. Why? Kansha irvu b'nei achotzer im b'nei amavui, kansha lo irvu. So that we're going to say b'nei achotzer irvu b'nei amavui, that's the case of Rabbi Yehuda. In the case of Rabbi Yehuda, where he said mavui kolel lirachava, and that's going to be mutter because there's no diurim in the Rechava, as we discussed at great length yesterday. So therefore, there's no one in the Rechava that could generate an Iser on the Mavui. But Khan, in the case of the din of Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, that's called Mavui Anifratz L'Chotzer, that's Asur, because Shalo Irvu. So the Bnei Mavui were not included in an Erev with the Bnei HaChatzer, and that's going to generate an Issa on the Bnei HaMavui to be Metaltal in the Mavui. But once again, as far as Mefulash is concerned, both in the case of Kola L'Rechava and in the case of Kola L'Chatzer, we're not going to define and classify the Mavui as a Mavui Mefulash, because it doesn't go from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, but it goes through Rosh Hashanah. So the final summary of this sugya, before we turn to Daf Ches Amud Aleph, is that a Mavui Mefulash Shesaram Derech Shesayochid is considered a Mavui Sasum. It doesn't need a Tzuras HaPesach. It's not Mefulash. All it needs is a Lechi or a Korah Barosho. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's a Mavui that goes through a Chatzer, or it goes through a Rechava. In both cases, it's going through Rosh HaYachid, and it's a Mavi Sasum. If it's a Mavi Sasum, all it needs is a Lechi and Korah. It might also need an Eruv, because it's Paritz B'Meloa into the Chatzer in Rav's case. Okay. So he says, Midin Eruv. Yeah, sorry.
It only needs one Lechi.
Right, because it's a Mavi Sasum. A Mavi Sasum is our whole parak is dealing with a Mavi Sasum that needs only a Lechi or a Korah. However, let's not be mezalzel, in the problem of Shitufei Muvos. He says, Midin Eruve Chatzerus v'Shitufei Muvos, Mavi Shenifratz L'Chatzer. If lo irvu b'neim, then the chatzer is muteres, but the mavi is aser. Now, one second. If they didn't make an eruv, so he says the chatzer is muteres, and they should ain drisas regel l'mavi alel. Ah, that's what we said before, that since initially there was a kosel there that served as a barrier preventing from the b'nei mavi to enter into the chatzer, therefore the chatzer remains a separate entity. However, the Mavui is awesome. Mipnei Shebnei HaChatzer Ovrimbo, the Bnei Chatzer, as a result of this Pirtza, have access to the Mavui, Shalonishtatvu Bo Bi Eruv, and the Bnei Mavui did not invite, so to speak, or join forces with the Bnei Chatzer in one common Eruv. But if they did so, Im Irvu Ishnei Mutar. Now, in the case of Mavui, this was Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, HaPasuach L'Rechava, right? So we said in the case of Rechava, what we have is Ein Ba Diurin, is then Shnei Mutar B'chol Mikra, then Einoz Kukuli Erev, and all you need is a Lechi or a Korv. Okay, then Rabbosai, so now we're going to start Daf Chesamid Al. According to the original understanding of Abaye, that when Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba quoted Rav and he said that the Mavi is Asur when it was Nifratz L'Chatzer and it was Nifratz L'Chatzer Kenegdo, and therefore the Erev is not going to help because it's a Mavui Mefulash, whereas Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Kol L'Rechava, it's definite that that the Mavui is Asur until there's an Erev with the Bnei Chatzer, but it's not a Mavui Mefulash. Is it comes out then that both, according to Rav and Shmuel, Bein She'irvu, Bein Shelo Irvu Pligi. So as we said before in Daf Zayin, there's a double machlokes. And Ksheirvu Bnei Achatzer Mamavui. So then according to Rav, we still have a problem. You solved the problem of Erevin, but you didn't solve the problem of a Mavui Mefulash. And if there was no Erev, then once again we're going to have a machlokes, again according to the Havamina, as to whether or not you need this Eruv, where Rav holds that the Chatzar Oseres al Mavui in the absence of an Eruv, and Rabbi Yehuda said that in the case of Rechava, and we're equating a Rechava with a Chatzar, the Bnei Mavui need nothing more than a Lechi Akor, they don't need an Eruv, is Be'irvu my pligi. What is the Machlokes in the case of Irvu? Meaning, why do we consider this, according to Rav, a Mavui Mefulash? According to Shmuel, it's not a Mavui Mefulash. Nafkamina legabe Psuras HaPesach. And B'shalo Irvu B'mai Pligi. And in the case where there was no Eruv, why does Rav hold that the Bnei HaChotzer are Oser Es HaMavui without an Eruv? And Shmuel holds no. One second, Madua L'Rav Ein Bnei Achotzer Osrim Es HaMavui. I'm sorry, forget about the case of Kola L'Mavui. Let's talk about a case of Kola L'Chotzer. Just one second. Shalo Irvu B'mai Pligi. We're going back to the Havamina. That's why I got a little bit messed up. Right, the introduction to this piece of the Gemara is Lamai Desalka Daitach Meikara. Meaning the Havamina, we thought that according to Rav, the problem of a Mavi Shenifretz L'Chotzer, in a case of Nifretz L'Chotzer Kenegdo, was purely a problem of Mavi Mefulash. There was no Erevin issue at all. Which means that according to the Havamina, the Gemara, you know, we worked so much on the Maskana here that I forgot the Havamina. The Havamina, the Gemara originally thought that according to Rav, there's no issue of Erevin over here. And the Bnei HaChotzer did not generate any Iser on the Mavui in the absence of Erev. All you need is to solve the problem of Mavui Mefulash by setting up a Tzuras HaPesach. But it was Dafka Shmuel who says that in the absence of the problem of Mavui Mefulash, we still have a problem of Erevin, which means that according to Shmuel, the Bnei HaChotzer generated an Iser on the Mavui. Now, the Gemara is going to try to answer this question, and go through the two different issues here, one about lo irvu and the other one about irvu. And the Gemara is going to introduce now a sugya, another machlokas Rav and Shmuel, that's going to hopefully shed a light on this concept of a mavui shenifratz lechotzer, and that's going to be a sugya which is called nireh mibachutz v'shaveh mibefinim. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to present to you the introduction that's offered here in the Masifta to the sugya of nireh mibachutz v'shaveh mibefinim, and then we'll try to get a diagram of it, which I have here. Maybe I'll be able to verbally, explain the diagram. So he says, first of all, a reshus hayachid and one of the machitzos has a pirtza, is the entire reshus is osur betiltul. That's apparently a sugya later on a daf yud beis. Elim kainis kaimaba shnei tnoim. You need two conditions. One is that the pirtza is less than 10 amos wide. And number two, nishtayer mi'at min amachitza mishnei tzidei pirtza. You still have a certain, he doesn't tell you how much it is, maybe it's 4 tfachim, he writes in the footnote, but there's a certain vestige of the machitza that's left on both sides of this opening, of this pirtza. Now I'm just trying to figure out, does he have three whole machitzos here? I'm assuming, I hope I'm not misleading you, or myself, that there are three complete machitzos. The fourth machitza has a pirtza, it's less than 10 amos, and he's got at least, let's say, 4 tfachim of vestige on both sides. Kasher miskaimim shnei tnoim ha'elu, dinam donim es ha'pirtza kepesach. And therefore you don't need a tzuras ha'pesach. V'alkein eno seres es ha'reshus. So a pesach does not create any problems. Pa'amim shala ome'ah. Now we get this is the introduction to our sugya of nirim mibachutz v'shavim mibefinim. He says, Pa'amim, we have a scenario, Shela Omeid B'toch Harashus, Nireis, Harashus Nireis Kiprutza B'Meloa. But Le Omeid B'Bachutz, Harashus, and he's standing outside, but Keneged HaPirtza, is Nikar Sheyesh K'solim. So it works like this. See, for this we need this, this picture I have. So you have something called nireh mibachutz, but eino nireh mibefinim, or shava mibefinim. So what it means is that if you have two areas that open up one into the other, you have to be able to see the fourth kosel. Now, what do you mean the fourth kosel? There is no fourth kosel. The answer is there still is a fourth kosel because the pirtz is less than 10 amos, and you have these pieces of the original kosel that are still up and standing. But now, you could be inside one rishus, and if that rishus is smaller than the other rishus, you follow me? And it's more narrow than the other rishus. So to you it looks like there's no kosel whatsoever. It's only if you're standing in the outside in the larger rishus, then with your eye you can see that there's still a kosel there. It's sort of like a theory of relativity, meaning that this this so-called Pesach / Pirtza, we don't know whether to classify it as a Pirtza or a Pesach, it's a relativity question, because relative to the smaller rishus spilling into the larger rishus, it's Prutz of a Milua. They don't see that there's more. You can't visualize that there's more to the Kosel, because all you see is an opening at the end of this Rishus. And therefore it should be considered like a Pirtza. On the other hand, if you're standing on the outside in the wider area, you're going to see that there's still a Kosel on the right and the left, and it's Nirami Bachutz. So Biofen Zeh Nechluku Amuroim. How do we define the status of this Pirtza / Pesach? Meaning, is it a Pirtza or is it a Pesach? That's point number one. Od Yesh Lahakdim, he says, point number two as an introduction to the background here, is Mavui Shahoysa Mechitza Beino Levein Chotzer V'loya Pesach B'Mechitza Zu U'mei Olam Lohoyu B'nei HaChotzer M'shtamshim B'Mavui M'nei Shamechitza B'Neihem V'yato Poschu Pesach B'Mechitza Zu Ein B'nei HaChotzer Osrim Al B'nei HaMavui Es HaShimush B'Mavui Af Im Lo Yishtatvu Imam B'Eruv So what is he saying now? He's saying the following. That if the chronology of events, the sequence is such that at time T1, the Bnei HaChotzer could not have access to the Mavui because of the Mechitza that separated the Chotzer from the Mavui. Now, at time T2, there was a Pesach that opened up in this Mechitza. And I'm assuming that the word Pesach here means that it's open but not ten amos. Is the Bnei HaChotzer cannot impose any sort of an Issa on the Bnei HaMavui to use the Mavui because Einam Regilim Lishtamish B'Mavui Zu. So again, I don't know what he means here. I'm not sure if we're dealing with legal rights that even after there's a Pirtza, the Bnei HaChotzer have no legal rights to use the Mavui because it's owned exclusively by the Bnei HaMavui. Or maybe what he means, Einam Regilim Lishtamish B'Mavui Zo. You know, they're not used to it. I mean, the Nafkamina would be what happens with the passage of time. I don't know if things would change a month, a half a year, 6 months, or 12 months down the line. Maybe at that point it would be Regilim, and maybe the halacha would change. I don't know. Again, this is all an introduction, so hopefully we'll get more of a grasp on it as we go along. So now we're saying that the Bnei HaMavui can continue their use of the Mavui. They don't need any Shituf Muvos here. However, in Lo Pirtzu Poschu Pesach B'Mechitza, El Shenifritza Mechitza, so how is that different? He writes in the footnote, Kagon Shenimshachu Haksolim Shemitzide Amovui V'nichnesu L'chotzer O Shehoisa Pirtzu Yisera Mi Eser Amos. Oh, I see. He's saying the following. What happens if the two walls of the Mavui that go up and down the Mavui on both sides, they continue into the Chotzer? It's really interesting because the wall that separated the Mavui from the Chotzer is no longer. So when you walk down this mavui, it's absolutely open to go into the chatzer, but you'll still, even as you pass the what used to be the stima, you know, the barrier, you still are in a sense in the mavui, because on your right and on your left, the kosle amavui are surrounding you. In such a case, the Bnei HaMavui need an Eruv with the Bnei HaChatzer. Why? Because that becomes Nifritza B'Meloa. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the logic here is, but on a superficial level, let's work with the following mechanics. That if the Kosle HaMavui reach this wall and they don't go beyond, then even after the wall that separates the Mavui from the Chatzar is no longer, nevertheless, we still see the Mavui and the Chatzar as two separate entities. And therefore, they don't require any sort of an Eruv between them. But if the Mavui continues into the Chatzer, then it's one entity. And then the Bnei HaMavui are going to have to invite the Bnei HaChatzer into one Eruv. Because that's called Mavui Sheparutz Legamrei Letoch Chatzer. It's completely, it flows into the Chatzer. So again, the breakage of the wall that separates the Mavui and the Chatzer, that itself would not make the Mavui into a Mavui HaParutz L'toch HaChatzer. It's almost as if there's an imaginary wall. You know, we use our imagination and imagine that the wall is still up, because the Bnei HaChatzer are not rugged, as we said before, to use the Chatzer, to use the Mavui. But if the Kosle HaMavui penetrate into the Chatzer, that's called Paritz L'toch HaChatzer. We can no longer imagine that wall that once was and is not, as if it still exists. We can no longer separate the Mavui from the Chatzer's two different Rishuyos. Now they become one Rishus, and there's got to be an Eruv between the Bnei HaChatzer and the Bnei HaMavui. And the Bnei HaChatzer Osrim al HaMavui. Another example of this would be if that wall was more than 10 amos wide, which is not a Pesach but a Pirtza when it goes down. So when that wall, you know, Humpty Dumpty, when it falls, at that point, once again, the Mavui completely flows into the Chatzer and is absolutely connected to the Chatzer as one entity. And then you need an Erev Hashituf Muvaz. Why? Because it's a Pirtza. And that's called Nifritza B'Meloa. And if it's Nifritza B'Meloa in one of these two scenarios, then you cannot view the Bnei Mavui as any sort of a separate entity.
It would seem that if it's one entity, why do you need an Eruv to separate them?
I'll tell you why. Because the purpose of an Eruv is to make sure that the entire Rishus is one.
Right.
Again, what I'm trying to suggest is that everybody that's together has to join in an Eruv. That's the whole concept of Eruvin. You know, Eruvin means to change a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, to allow carrying. So that if it's just you and me that have access to one area, then the two of us will create an Eruv. But if it's you, me, and Steve, then Steve also has to be part of the Eruv. Now the question is, do we view the Bnei HaMavui as somewhat independent of the Bnei HaChatzer, or do we view them as one Rishus? Whenever it's all one Rishus, like many houses that share a courtyard, right? Or many houses or courtyards that share a Mavui. In all those cases, we make it into a Rishus HaRabim because there's so many different elements here that share this ground. You know what I mean? It's like a Rishus HaRabim. So we have to convert that Rishus HaRabim, transform it into Rishus HaYochid through what mechanism? That's called Eruv. And the Eruv makes us all one partnership. As if we're one owner of the entire Rishus. Now, at what point do we say that the there's no separation between the Mavi and the Chatzah? They're all using this in, you know, together, and now it's Rishus HaRabim. We need an Erev to make it into one partnership, one ownership. If there's only a Pirtza at the end of this Mavi, in the Kosa that used to formally separate the Mavi and the Chatzah, and then we have this imagination in which Enom Regilim, if you remember that term, that since we got used to that barrier that separated, so we still stay away from each other. And there are two entities here. So let the Bnei HaMavi make their Sheet of Mavos, and let the Bnei HaChatzah make their Erevin, and that's fine. At what point do we say that the Pirtza is so dramatic that now the Bnei HaMavi and the Bnei HaChatzah become one Rabin? And therefore they need an Erev together. And that's the point in which that breakage in the Kosel becomes not a Pesach, but a Pirtza. And that's called Ten Amos. So if now the wall that was used, that once was and is no longer, is Ten Amos wide and it's no longer there, then it's completely parts. The Mavui has no separate private entity. You know, it just belongs to the Chatzah. Another alternative would be in a case where the Kosley HaMavui penetrate into the Chatzer. So that it means even after you pass that, what you wanted to call an imaginary Kosel that used to be there as a barrier, you're still in the Mavui, so to speak, because, you know, you have a Kosel on the right and a Kosel on the left. That means there's an absolute connection between the Chatzer and the Mavui. Because, you know, if you were outside that extension of the two walls, you would be in the Chatzah. But yet you're still in the Mavui because you've gone down this alleyway which was protected on both sides by a Kosel, and you're still protected by the Kosel because the Kosel continues beyond what used to be that... Now I'm, it's in my mind, you know, on an engineering level, I'm trying to figure out why are these Ksalim on the two stade HaMavu, Yamin and Small, why are they so long? You know, there was a barrier at some point. Why would they have extended that coastal beyond that blockage, that stima, you know, that blockage? I don't know. I'm not clear about that. All right, let's see the Gemara inside. All that was a bit of a long introduction. Yeah? So the Gemara says, Bishalo irvu pligi bidin nira mi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim. Right, so you have these leftover parts of the kosel, the mechitza that once was, and you can't see those parts of the old kosel that still stand from the mavui. That's called from the omed mi bifnim. But if you're out in the chatzer, looking into the Mavui, you see the Kosel on both sides. So how do we view these vestiges of the Mechitza in the case of the Pritzas HaMavui, the Shirayim? The Shirayim means the leftovers. Do we view this Pirtza as a Pesach, or do we say no? Right now it's already a Pirtza, it's not a Pesach. And the nafkamina is whether we view the Mavui as being parts legamre, completely parts bimaloo into the chatzer, which would mean that we need a mechit, we need a an eruv. And this is going to be a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel in the case of a Mavui shenifratz lechatzer, and somebody standing in the Mavui does not see the shirayim that are left over to this mechitza that once was. But on the other hand, someone who's standing in the chatzer, he sees the shirayim to the right and to the left. So from the vantage point of someone who's standing in the chatzer, What you have here is a Pesach. But from the vantage point, the perspective of someone in the Mavui, it's Paritz B'Meloah. There is no leftover to this Kosel. So Shmuel is going to hold that since it's a Piritza from the perspective of someone standing in the Mavui, it's a Piritza Lagamre. And we don't care about the fact that from the Chatzar perspective, the Piritza is really a Pesach, because there's Shirayim on both sides. Now, if I understand correctly, Shmuel is saying that since the fellow standing in the Mavui, anybody who goes to the Mavui, is looking at a Piritza, in his perspective, he doesn't see a Pesach, he sees a Piritza. So he can't carry in the Mavui until he gets an Erev Chatzar. Now, what about the people who are in the Chatzar? I mean, they don't see this as a Piritza. They see it as if there's a fourth Mechitza. He says, Nimtza, according to Shmuel, HaMavui Paritz B'Melo L'Chatzar, V'Achatzar Osrim Al B'nei HaMavui. So it sounds like the B'nei HaChatzar, because they still see this Kosel, they're allowed to carry in the Chatzar. Now, are they allowed to carry into the Mavui? I doubt it. But anyway, we'll leave that as a question. Now, let's go to Rav. Rav says that since a person standing in the Chatzar and he sees the Shirayim, the leftover of two on both sides of the Piritza, is therefore that Shirayim makes it into a Mechitza, even with regard to the Mavui. And we still imagine that kosel that once was still as if it still stands, and therefore that opening of that wall between the chatzar and the mavui is called a pesach and not a piritza. Umavui sheniftach lo pesach beino levein hachatzar velo hayu adayorim regilim ad ato lishtamesh b'mavui zeh. So Rav holds that the Bnei HaMavui are allowed to continue carrying in the Mavui. They don't need, in order to be Matir Tiltul, any sort of an Eruv, because since this is a Pesach and not a Piritza. And why is it a Pesach? Because somebody standing in the Chatzar, he perceives it as a Pesach, because he sees the Mechitza, the Shiori HaKosel. And Rav therefore is going to allow the Bnei HaMavui to continue carrying in the Mavui as if nothing changed, because from the perspective of the Chatzar, we see that it's a Pesach and not a Piritza, and therefore it's called a Pesach even Bifnim as far as the Mavui is concerned. Be'er Shmuel holds no. Shmuel says, okay, you can call it a Pesach as far as the Chatzar is concerned, because if you're standing in the Chatzar, you see it as a Pesach, not as a Piritza. But if you're standing in the inside the Mavu, you have to admit to me that it's a Piritza. You know, you don't see anything left to that coastal. It's completely gone. So, B'li Neder, tomorrow, we're going to pick this up here on Daf Ches Amid Aleph. And that's going to explain the Machlokas of Shalo Irv. Okay? Shalo Irv.